Well, good evening, or you know, perhaps good morning, and welcome.
Idaho.
I know that was that's all I have.
You sure smell flour.
Where did that come from?
You would know. Yeah, that's a South Park reference.
Okay, I do know the South Park reference.
That could now it could be either Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, or it could be Towley.
It could be Towley. Towley's the one I was thinking. Yeah.
Don't forget the towel.
You're listening to Considering Some Things.
Considering.
Don't forget to consider some things.
Oh, that's hard to do, actually. That's really above my register there. Welcome to Consider Some Things.
Yes. Yeah. A nonsensical podcast in which we consider many things.
That's right. I'm Mark Storer.
And I'm Keith Cox.
How's it going?
Oh, wait. No, sorry. Wait. I'm Mark Storer.
And I am also Mark Storer today.
And we'd like to introduce our guest, Mark Storer.
Mark Storer, which also, yes, our famous producer, Mark Storer.
Famous producer. So it is a bit odd. Hey, we're brought to you by a couple of things. Nabu Wines. Nabu 15 is the code. It's nabuwines.com. NABU. Greg Barnett, Jeff Bailey making some absolutely brilliant wines up in, of all places, here in Ventura County, up in Westlake Village, California. It's an extraordinary bit of wine they make, and I think you ought to partake of it. You can go do that by going to nabuwines.com.
Ooh. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, that's all. Are you going to carry on?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know why I thought there was like a 15% something like that you were going to go there. I always keyed off that.
Nabu 1.5. You type in Nabu 15.
So,
Nabu 1.5, yeah.
I thought it was like 1.5%. Now it's really 15%. It's fully, hey, it's by the way,
15%.
If you're on Facebook, and why should you be? And if you're a musician, and really, why should you be? You might want to check out the 805 Musician Network. It is a Facebook group purely for musicians. And the idea, if you're on the 805, it is musicians of the 805, anywhere from Ventura all the way to Paso Robles. If you're in the 805, the Musician Network is for you. If you're looking for gigs, well, good luck. We can't help you either. But if you're looking for equipment, hey, that's the place. A lot of people right now are networking. I've actually saw a whole bunch of people finding projects and stuff like that. So even in the deadness of the lack of gigs, people are still trying to practice and find their way because we all have faith that this stupid COVID thing we're going to get through. So, hey, join up the 805 Musician Network. And if you're a musician, again, you cannot be a magician. That would be wrong. But you have to be midget.
Or can you be a dancer, say?
No dancers.
No dancers.
No fire jugglers.
No.
Although maybe. Well, we might. If you're a fire juggler, I kind of want you in just because you've got to have some great stories. But that's it. No IRS agents either. You're definitely banned entirely. Facebook page is the 805 Musician Network. Join it and be a better person and live it.
Hey, you know what I want to bring up with you? A couple episodes ago, we did the paranormal, and we talked about it, and I was fascinated. I'm naive. Here we are podcasting in a time when everyone else has taken on a podcast.
Right.
And I'm aware that there are a lot of them. But I didn't realize there are many, many paranormal podcasts. Spooked is one I mentioned.
So many. Oh, okay.
But this one that I now, and I've forgotten the name now, but they interviewed Alice Cooper, Vince Vernier, Alice Cooper, and they interviewed him. And all I heard was the snippet of advertisement. And he made a statement that could have picked up where you and I left off on the end of our episode, because what he said was, I don't really believe in ghosts per se. I believe that there are demons who pretend they are ghosts.
Now, I think you brought that up.
Yeah. No, not on the show.
Oh, you might have. Okay, because I remember this conversation. And yeah, demons who could be ghosts. I mean, yeah, okay.
I thought it was interesting. That's kind of fun.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we all have our thoughts on this. I don't know. Jason, what's your thought?
Well,
I'm just going to pull him in now.
Just pull him in.
Jason, demons?
We're welcoming to the show our very own executive producer, the guy who really started this whole podcast. Well, I started because I interviewed Keith. He was my first guest. This was my podcast way back in April. And Keith was my first guest. But the whole time, I simply texted Jason one night. I said, hey, I interviewed my pal Keith. I'm trying to find a way to get a link to him that he can hear it. And within about 45 minutes of that text, Jason had built a website and put the podcast in it. And I went, oh, this is a podcast now. And so here we are 48 episodes later. Jason Abrahamson, who is our executive producer, he is also a barbecue chef extraordinaire. Yeah, he's an executive at some company or other, but who cares about that? He cooks. Oh, and oh man, the brisket. Oh, and the ribs. Oh,
well, so Jason, I have been watching your videos and yeah, I'm hungry. you definitely know your stuff. There's no question about that. So, of course, I definitely want to ask you. Well, first of all, say hi to everybody. Let them know we're not pretending you're here. Hi, everybody. I'm Jason.
Well, so I'll say hello. And then to all the listeners, I guess I'll just say, I'm sorry.
Exactly right. You damn well should be.
You can't blame us. It's his fault.
Yes, and I like how Mark retells the story, because really it was, I get a text message and it's like, hey, so I don't know how to use Dropbox, and I made this, like, recorded this thing. I talked to my buddy Keith, and I don't want to put it on the internet. And I was like, well, you know, it's Al Gore invented it, so I mean, it's been around for like what, 34 years now. So I'm like, yeah, that's cool. We can figure this out. But no, I'm humbled by your, you know, appraise of me. It's amazing how fast things can work on the internet, and especially really, you know, ideas seem really good when you're like 3/4 of a bottle of wine into the evening. So
yeah. I'm like, oh man, we think we're brilliant.
Keith and I have never had that much to drink going into a show, have we, Keith?
I just no a bottle.
Johnny Carson or Ed McMahon.
That is
yes.
That is wild, wacky stuff. I did not know that.
I did not know. Which one am I? I guess I'm Ed then.
Yeah, you're Ed. You're
doing it. You are right. You are correct, grade one.
Okay, Ed, you have the job. Anyway, Jason, so now how did you two knew each other? Is this from Kalu, by the way, Cal Lutheran?
Or no.
I want to tell the story.
Boy.
Here's the story.
It was a cold, blistery morning as I walked to the halls of Camarillo High School. I was told that I was going to be taking Mark Storr's English class. I was petrified.
He can't even come up with the word.
I can't even come up with the words. It left me speechless. And I walked in, and there he was,
the man,
the myth, and the legend. As fellow,
you see, Keith, I've had a different impact on people.
Yeah, you have. As fellow Camp High teacher, now retired, Ron Beck would say, the man, the myth, and the legend. I had Mark in as an English teacher in high school, and what's interesting is I am terrible when it comes to writing as far as grammar goes. Mark will attest to that. Since
I've seen apes that can do better.
Yes, no denying that. So, though I've gotten better, which just goes to show you how terrible I really was.
Yeah.
He taught me a love for writing and a love and a curiosity for literature. Not, I don't want to say reading, because I listen to books on tape and I don't read nearly as much as I would like to, but the intellectual questions that you want to ask, right? As far as like the curiosity of asking why that comes with literature and creativity. And I've always been a creative person, and Mark saw that in me. And one of the things I'll never forget, and I tell him this all the time, you know, the impact he had on my life as a student and, you know, as an adult, he's been there for all of my major life accomplishments at this point. He was at my wedding. He was at my son's baptism, my son's first birthday. I mean, it's my college graduation. He is the inspiration of why I went to Kalu. In fact, I was a Catholic, and I had kind of strayed from the church. That could be a whole podcast episode in itself.
It could.
But he said, why don't you go look at Lutheranism? It's like Catholicism without the guilt. So I said, okay, I'll go take a look. And I really had a passion for Martin Luther, understanding the Reformation movement and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, that's how I met Mark is, you know, school. He was my teacher. But I'll never forget when I graduated high school. I was walking down the line, if you will. And he gave me a hug and he says, I'll see you later. And it was, what was different about that was he said to everybody else, goodbye, 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 goodbye. And he got to me and he pulled me and gave me a hug. He said, I'll see you later. And so I recognized at that point, like, you know, here I am 18 years old and this guy, you know, sees me as a friend, right? Which was huge for me to have somebody, an adult, recognize me as a human being, right? Other than just somebody who drools and barely functions.
Which is still largely true in some measure.
Yeah, that's true. I do walk around dragging my knuckles on the ground, but you know, just to have that kinship and that relationship, it meant a lot to me. And to this day, I'll never forget, as I started to say earlier, I'll never forget this paper I wrote. And I had forgotten this entire section of the project. And I thought I was going to, you know, bomb the project because I didn't feel like I understood it. And the comment on the paper, I got an A on it, A minus. And I got an A minus on it. And he says, despite forgetting or not doing this entire last section, this is perhaps the best thing you've ever written. And he said, you know, and that was it. I wish I had kept that paper because I think it's probably still the best thing I've ever written. But, you know, that's how I met Mark. Mark.
Well, I'm honored, man. Thank you. Those are very kind words. You are 3/4 of a bottle in, so we'll take that into consideration.
Well, I just, if I can, and I, you know, because it is impressive to me that, Mark, you teaching, I could never fathom, I mean that sincerely, hanging out with my teachers. And I had respect for some of my teachers, but this goes to another level where you just have such a huge influence, Mark, as a teacher. I'm extremely impressed.
Do you think that cocaine and the girls had anything to do with it? Or is it just...
That's probably why Jason's hanging around is my thing. I'm sure that's probably why.
But... It's a joke, everybody. It's a joke.
Mark will tell you that my senior year I was his aide, and
yes, he was my aide.
And he'll tell you I'm one of the best aides he's ever had because I would do the stuff that nobody else wanted to do.
Well, and you also would think of things that needed to get done before I knew they needed to get done. Yeah.
Nice. Yes. So, Mark has AIDS. Cool.
God almighty. Not quite. But I remember he had been cooking, I think it was the pancake breakfast or something.
Oh, yes.
The weekend before at the church, he'd been cooking. And he came in and he looked like hell, which, let's be honest, he usually looks like hell because he's an English teacher. So he's basically looks like he rolled out of bed and looks like an unkept bed, really.
It's true.
When he walks in. So he looked like hell. And you go in and I'm just looking at him, though. I'm like, he's pale. This is not good. And I said to him, I'm like, you don't look good. You really don't look good. You need to go home. And he's like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I remember I even got him some water and I put some, like, you know, Tylenol out there. I'm like, you need to just take this and you need to. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go. And sure enough, he was driving home and he got sick on the way home. He was like, oh, man, I'm glad. But we had that at that point, it worked. Because remember, I had you for 3 years, two and a half years.
Two and a half years.
So I ended up taking Shakespeare, which I love theater. I'm not a big Shakespeare guy.
Keith loves theater, don't you, Keith?
I took Shakespeare though, just so I could take Mark's class. But you know, it was those types of moments. I always knew when his back was hurting because the way he would stand with his cane. and so true. I would slide the Aleve across the desk during first period. I'm like, here you go, and he'd be like, oh, thanks. So it was just, you know, I don't know.
It was good times. Those were good days. I'm glad that I don't ache as much as I did then. And I'm glad that I didn't. By the way, that story that he told about me getting sick on the way home is true. And that was the first migraine that I ever experienced. And I went through a period there in my late 30s, early 40s of migraines. And what I determined from it was I dehydrate very, very easily. So and that happens to me, you know, it certainly can happen if I'm drinking alcohol, but it also happens if I'm just not paying attention and not drinking water and doing something, which happened to me a lot. And I ended up with a pretty serious set of migraines. They put me on a medication that I always referred to as the nuclear option, because if the migraine was coming on, I needed to take the pill because nothing was worse than that migraine. It was debilitating. But when I took the pill, that was the end of it. I didn't remember anything. It was just absolutely destroyed me. And I'd lay down for, I don't know, 2-3 hours before I was up again. And it was really something. But yeah, those were
memorable. Aren't you glad that we weren't roommates? Because I would have totally Magic Marker. Yeah, you'd have. He is out, baby. He's getting a whole big penis on his face, both cheeks. He's got to teach the next with a Sharpie. Oh yeah, it's the. You ain't getting it off the same day, and you got to go to work tomorrow, and you're going to show up with the kids, and yeah.
Speaking of which, what are you drinking, Keith?
I am drinking 13 Stripes wine.
13 Stripes. So,
13 Stripes. They're a winery up north, Lake County, I believe.
Wow, way up north.
Way, way up north, and they I support them because they support the troops, and a percentage of their profits goes to various military funding good. And things like that. So good.
Wounded Warriors, so, things like
Wounded
that.
Wounded Warriors, Brothers in Arms, things like that. So they're really cool organization. So, you know, I kicked out. And, you know, this is a cab. It's not, oh my God, but it's, you know, it's a decent cab for what it is. So,
yeah. Jason, what are you drinking?
I am drinking... how do you say this?
I'm trying not to let him. I'm not telling him. Hopefully he'll do it with the accent that I told him.
You know, I don't even know how to say this. Somebody gave me this wine, so I'm not a member there. But it's
Polish. Think Polish.
That doesn't help.
Oh, so that's called Wineski. I'm drinking the Wineski.
Wait, I'm drinking vodka? Is that what this is?
I'm drinking red table wine. That's what I'm drinking. No.
It's Gergich Hills that you're drinking.
Gergich Hills, yes. I'm drinking Gergich Hills. It's a Napa cab, 2016. The estate ground.
Lovely. You two like your. You guys both are. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It should be pointed out that Keith has never met Jason in person, and the only time that they've talked is right now. This is the first time they probably shared a couple emails back and forth through things that we've done here on the podcast, but no time have they met in person. And yet it's kind of funny because I've known Keith for 40 some odd years, and you guys have similar tastes in wine. You like your deep, rich, ruby red wines.
Yeah. You guys may want to Uber, but I'm taking the cab, baby.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There'll be two shows a night. Good. And try the veal.
I'll be here all the week. Thank you. All the week.
I'm gonna remember that one. But what's interesting though, you're right. I do like the bigger, deep red cat or deeper red wines. But I was thinking about before I got on this podcast because you know I'm not big on Merlot, which you like Merlot.
Yeah,
though I will tell you, Greg Barnett makes a Merlot.
He does.
That is unfreaking believable.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. I said if I could just buy his Merlot,
yep,
I would drink Merlot all the time.
Nabu wines. Nabu wines. That was one of the first Merlots that I had where I went, you know, I'd actually seek this wine out. Most Merlots are happenstance for. I don't go seeking. I don't go buying it because I don't buy a lot of Bordeaux. That may change. I'm moving to Washington, there are good Bordeaux in Washington.
Very big, in Washington. Yeah. That was my funny thing. Is that was my starter, Merlots, man. That was my. Yeah. Well, no, most people start with Sissy White.
Yeah,
exactly. I want a Chardonnay in a box, please.
There's nothing wrong with Chardonnay in a box.
No, I'm going to make a spritzer out of it.
You and I used to drink spritzer. Don't forget that.
That's right. We did. We did, too.
Yeah, we did.
We were fancy lads.
Bartles and James.
Bartles and James.
Yeah. Keith and I used to sit in my backyard with pellet guns and a Bartles and James wine cooler picking off the gophers on the hill in my backyard.
Wow. Such little evolution between then and now.
Yeah, there's very little. Yeah, very little has changed.
No, we still do. He shows up to my place, and I'm like, here's a baby gun.
Well, aside from being a big-time business exec and being a podcast executive producer, you are also relatively newly. How long have you been queuing and smoking meats?
Yeah,
buddy. So I would say that I've had I don't want to say passion, but I have enjoyed cooking for years. I would say that my evolution of, hey, come over and eat my food because it's really good. You know, it's probably been about a year now.
Yeah.
And I started the YouTube channel back in March with the whole COVID stuff. I was like, I got to do something to, and I'm behind on videos. I have to produce original content, as you well know.
Yes.
But
we'll put that up on the show page, by the way, so everybody can get to it. Yeah.
It's just good. Cause then I'll have to go make more videos, but no, when I was learning how to do it, and I have a pellet smoker, and I bought my smoker about a year ago, and we can talk
which, about which one. Can I get asked which one do you have?
I have the Pit Boss.
Me too.
So which one do you have?
The big one.
The big one. The big one. Where did you buy it?
I bought it at Lowe's.
Okay, so you probably have the Pit Boss Pro 1100 then.
I think so. It's because, big.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
You can pour a whole bag of pellets into the hopper.
Yep.
So I've also got a very small Traeger.
It's interesting. You both started on Traeger and you both wound up with a Pit Boss.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I never had a Traeger. My Pit Boss was the first smoker I had. I started with a pellet tray on a gas grill.
Wow.
That's where I started. But yeah, but I looked at the Traegers. My little brother has a Traeger, but price. For
yeah,
what
they're
you
stupid.
Get,
yeah.
You can't beat the Pit Boss. I looked
you cannot.
At and Joe Traeger, believe it or not, it's the worst kept secret in the industry is Joe Traeger after he sold Traeger went to go work for Pit Boss.
No, he did not.
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
Really? You can get a Pit Boss Classic, which is a 700 square inch wood fired pellet grill at Walmart for $396.
Yeah.
That's again, this is why I ended up with the Pit Boss because the Lowe's one was $599.
And
if you look at what you got compared to the Traeger of the same class, the Traeger was over twice the price.
Exactly.
And the quality was just as good.
Right.
Wow. In my opinion. So,
better. I mean, the hopper was better in my opinion. Yes. The fact that you can sear, which you can't do on the Traeger. So, I mean,
interesting. You can't sear the meat on a Traeger?
No. And so that searing thing, when I saw that, you can see, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sold.
And I mean, I don't know if you know this, Keith, but that was something that the YouTube community or the Pit Boss community, people started custom making those. So they incorporated that into the units, right? That's why there's a slide rail too. They didn't used to have the slide rail. That was another thing they added. The tray in the front was something that they added, which again was something that Pit Bossers kind of just did it. And they said, hey, that's pretty cool. We should add those features. But Keith's right. I mean, you have the sear functionality on the Pit Boss. So if you only want to have one unit, the Pit Boss is the best of every world. I've got a gas grill too that I use for searing. But I mean, if you're only going to have one, you can't afford a Santa Maria.
The Pit Boss sears so well, though. I mean, again, I could. And when I first got it, I had a party and I made the same day, I did a ton of chicken, like 32 pieces of chicken. Then from there, I went to shrimp. And we did the bacon wrapped asparagus, and I did steaks, and then some ribs. All that same. I mean, just that's what I was doing all day, and that thing was a champ. And of course, I just poured one big bag into the hopper, and it kept on going and going. It was just and I love that thing. It's just amazing. There's actually, but if you're on Facebook, there's actually a Pit Boss Facebook group.
Tell me, because you both are now, so I have distinction of having had both of your cues. And so now, and I'm not going to compare them. What I'm asking is, you both, Keith has expressed many times, he's into the keto diet. He does that pretty exclusively. Mm-hmm. I don't think you do, Jason. That's not exclusive for you.
No.
But
no, it was at one point, but no.
Right, yeah. But now, here's what I'm going to ask. Do you consider, both of you, the quality of meat you're buying? Or are you just looking for what's on sale? Or are you now at a point where you say, look, I got to have grass-fed beef. I got to have, this and that, whatever.
Well, so I'll start.
Yeah.
The short answer would be no. The longer answer would be depends on what I'm cooking.
Uh-huh.
So if you're talking about, say, steak, personally, I don't like grass-fed. It has a different taste. I prefer corn-fed. I like happy cows, though. I don't genetically modified cows, if you will. So I'm a big Harris Ranch guy when it comes to steaks.
Yeah.
I get a lot of them from harrisranch.com. And I buy their steaks all the time. Usually I get the they have the baseball cut, which is a very lean cut.
Oh, yeah. So
those, when I look at a steak, I try to go like, hey, you know, let me focus on more the purveyor, right? Like not so much choice for prime, because the one misconception that people have is like, oh, I got to get a prime. The whole cow is rated as choice or prime. So individual cuts could be like crappier than another one. So you could take a prime steak, and you could take a choice steak, and the choice steak may have better marbling than the prime steak. And that's where the butcher comes into play, right? Because the butcher is the one that's going to ultimately, you know, try to push one versus the other. And but you don't know anything. You're just going to Costco. You're like, I want a prime one, and then you know you just buy it because you think it's the best. But you have to really look at it. So when it comes to steak, yes, I care about it. When it comes to brisket, pork butt, ribs, any of that stuff, nah, dude, whatever's on sale.
Yeah. And I'll just concur. Certain things that we do like the grass-fed because that makes cows happier. And there's something just really exciting knowing that I killed a happy cow versus corn-fed. They're just kind of depressed, saying, oh, moo, we're eating corn again. Please kill me. Yay, you're killing me. They're almost relieved. In a weird way, I guess you are getting a happier dead cow when they're corn-fed versus grass-fed. Like, no, I'm eating corn. I'm happy. Don't kill me. Don't
kill me. I like the
grass. Who are these people? I don't know. I'm just joking. But anyway, well, there's certain things, you know, with grass-fed and everything like that, you know, they're not, you know, well, you're not supposed to be, but I mean, you know, they're not injecting with hormones and this, that, and the other.
Sure.
And, you know.
Do you like the taste better?
I do. And I kind of agree with Jason as well. I think you can notice the difference. Maybe a little gamier, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit. I like gamey then. You know, I hunted for a while and I'd go hunt biggies. And I'm telling you, I think a wild boar is phenomenal. It's very.
Have you had it? Have you had wild boar?
I've shot a few of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We used to go hunting right out there in out in Orchid, Tepeske area.
Yeah, because that's there is a wild boar issue. Oh,
there is a zillion of them. Yeah, the wineries, you know, they'll pay you to come out there and kill them because they just destroy vineyards and whatnot, which is nice because then you get this nice grapey, you know, pig. It's delicious, you know. But my wife would do, she's an amazing cook. I like to grill and everything, but she would do this really cool pulled pork or whatever, you know, Jamaican jerk kind of pork, and it's no one would know. And you know you're getting something that's, you know, when you're eating something like that, there's no hormones, there's no chemicals in that thing. Mm-mm. It's just wild boar. And you can still tame it a little bit so it's not, because some people are very, very sensitive to that gamey taste.
Sure.
But there's a way to make it a little less gamey, and it's just really how you season it and everything like that. And it comes out amazing. And, you know, we've had plenty of parties where they're eating my, you know, piggies. It's been a while since I've hunted, but it was fun feeding people that. And then I'm like, what do you think? Those are the best ribs I've ever had. I'm like, that's wild boar. And they're like, ah, dare you.
I ate a bullet.
Exactly. It's really funny. So, but yeah, it was kind of cool. All right,
pork or beef, if you have a choice, pork or beef.
Oh, come on, man.
Pork or beef.
I'm a beef.
Jason says beef.
Are you talking ribs or everything?
Everything. If you had to choose, if it's a Saturday night and you've got a choice of pork or beef, what are you going with?
Oh man,
I'm a Central Texas barbecue enthusiast, so I'm always going to go with beef.
Beef. You're an Aaron Franklin guy, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge Aaron Franklin guy.
Franklin's barbecue in Austin, Texas, people. That's the one.
I'm a huge Aaron Franklin prophet. So.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask you if are you going to become a pit master or not? Do you consider yourself a pit master?
No, because I use a pellet grill.
It's not.
Do I consider myself a pit master? No, but I would I say that I make damn good Central Texas style barbecue in Southern California? Yeah. I really focus on rubs, pepper forward, oak pellets. I do like to use a premium oak blend because you can't get post oak in California. So I like to do a premium oak blend, which has also some redwood, which, you know, anybody who's been in Santa Maria knows that Santa Maria style barbecue is, if you're using wood, it's really redwood, right?
Redwood. That's big California.
So, and I really like the flavor that the oak gives off. It's also neutral, right? You can smoke pretty much anything in oak, but I'm a big beef guy. Brisket, beef short rib. I will do, I've done prime rib. I've done tri-tip.
Ribeyes, baby. Ribeyes.
The ribeyes are good.
Yeah, that's my,
because on the smoker, though, you do a reverse sear, right? I mean, you're doing really, really low and slow, and then crank the thing up as hot as it'll go, or you throw it on a gas grill at 600 degrees for, you know, a minute, and then you're done. So that's, I'm a beef guy, but you cannot beat
pork ribs.
I was going to say pork ribs are good, but I was also going to say pork butt.
Pork butt, pork loin. Pork.
Yeah.
We would do pork loins, and it's just, if you, oh my God, it's just like butter. I love most of the pork products. And of course, it's all started with bacon. Because bacon.
Exactly. Bacon doesn't need a reason.
Yeah. Unless you're talking to English people and they think our bacon is the most disgusting thing in the world.
And you set off a firestorm online.
On the Dolmen's Club, I know.
We're part of, Keith and I are part of the Dolmen's Club on a Facebook group, and they're mostly Brits. And Keith said something about bacon, and it you'd thought we were going to start a war again.
God, it was hilarious. I'm cracking up because I knew it would piss them off. I knew the English guys. That's not what.
That's not bacon.
What do they call it? Bits, or I don't know what they call it. I forget. Yeah. Anyway, it was funny. But I love pork. I do, and I love, you know, and good pork loin, pork butt, pork chops, and it's amazing on the grill as well. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. But I mean, if you're making me choose, I'm a steak guy all the way.
Yeah.
Now that's the difference. If it's pork ribs versus beef ribs, I do like pork ribs better.
Sure.
Well, it depends on what beef rib.
The beefy kind.
If we're talking beef back rib, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
But beef short rib is like brisket on a stick.
Well, it really is. No, you're absolutely correct. In most restaurants, when you're ordering the, you know, beef ribs, that's what you're getting is the back ribs, right?
Yeah.
But
the back ribs are, the pork is way better than beef back ribs. No question.
I do not queue, and I should. I used to, but I don't, and I never was, you know, particularly good at it or anything else. But I can cook pretty well, and so Jason was the one who I was going to make barbecue ribs. I've done ribs before many times in the oven, various things. So I finally came up with a recipe that I'm happy with, and I found a barbecue sauce with which I'm even happier. That's Stubbs. No, we're not being paid by Stubbs. No, we don't get any money from them. Stubbs barbecue sauce is out of Texas, and they don't put any sugar. There's no high fructose corn syrup or sugar in their sauce.
Oh my God, I've got to try that. Yeah,
it's really good. Yeah, and so I bought some of that, and what I do with the ribs is I'll start them off in Coca-Cola. I parboil them for about an hour and a half, and I pull them out of there, and then I season them with just the typical seasoning that Jason recommends, which is pepper and salt.
Right.
And then I wrap them in tinfoil and I throw them in the oven at 250 degrees for 3 hours. And that last hour, I take them out, uncover them, and I turn up the heat to 275. So, it turned out pretty well, but it didn't, it still hasn't turned out. It's good. It's excellent, but it's not as good as off of the grill.
When you go 275, how long do you keep it on for that?
One more hour.
Okay. Okay.
So 2 hours at 250 and 1 hour at 275.
275, okay. Yeah.
So Keith, let me ask you, how long do you do your pork ribs and at what temp?
So I start, I start at about 190 degrees temp, smoking, pure smoke.
Mm.
I will usually smoke them for anywhere from 4 to 6 hours.
Wow.
But 4 hours is my minimum. And from there, you take them out, and you'll do an extra rub, because I always season them ahead of time, but then I'll re-season. And that second seasoning, by the way, in my opinion, that second time I rub it up is really when everything's going to heat. Because when I do that, then I put them in, wrap them in foil, and I crank up the heat to, you know, 450 or whatever. And then I'm going to put them on for about another hour after that. a really hot temp.
That sounds delectable.
Yeah, it works. I just did it for my big poker game, and I did 6 racks of ribs, and the guys were slobbering. It was the hit, and everybody brought a little something, but the ribs were just outstanding.
So, what do you do, Jason?
So, I do not, as you well know, Mark, as you've had my ribs, I don't like the bone to pull completely clean out on its own. Yeah. I like a little tug.
I'm just with you, a little tug, right?
Yep. So I do what I call the 2-1-1, and that is I smoke them at, like, you know, you just described, Keith, for about at 190-ish, if you will, on the pit boss. That's just P4. I put it on smoke mode, P4, and I'll do that for 2 hours, maybe sometimes 2.5, but, no, you know, that's be the max, right? Then I pull it off. I spritz them with apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
And I spritz it on the rib, and I also spritz the foil, and then I wrap them super tight in foil, and I put them back on for an hour, and I crank the heat up now to about 250. And then after an hour, I'll go out, I'll pull the ribs out, put them back on the rack completely bare out of the foil, again at about 250, 275 now, for another hour, and then I pull them off, let them rest for 15 minutes.
Oh, here you go.
It has the right amount of tug and the right amount of balance from a seasoning perspective, in my opinion. I felt like if I went to 6 hours, it was too much. Like I was like sweating them too much. But some people really like the bone just coming right out, right? Some people really like that.
When I did my, if I go to 6 hours, I don't, at 190 or whatever like that, then I'll change my heat to a little bit less for the hour. I won't go with like the 450. If I'm going about 4 hours, I'm actually going to, like I said, when I remove, I respice everything up. And I'm more of a, I love pepper. I'm the same way. My spice is simple. It's salt and pepper, but I also like garlic in there. Santa Maria style. Susie Q. Yeah. That's going to be my go-to.
Jocko's was what introduced me to that. That wasn't your favorite place. You like Jocko's.
I love Jocko's. Yeah. Well, they're very Santa Maria. So I said Jocko's, Shaw's. Shaw's is one of my favorites. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And they're coming back finally. I'm so excited about that. But,
well, everybody's cool. I wonder what Jocko's is doing. My guess is they're still cooking and you just take it to go.
Oh God. Yeah. They just take it to go. They're rocking. And AJ Spurs and, you know, whatever. There's a bunch of great places out here.
Sure.
But anyway, if I do the 4 hours, then I'm going to take them off, re-rub them, like I said. And I forgot, I will spritz with some apple cider or apple vinegar as well. And then you wrap them up. But then I just use really heat. I go to the really hot 450, do it about an hour. And, you know, it's still not, in my opinion, I haven't had the fall off the bone, but it's pretty damn close. So it's like a mixed bag. Some of the stuff's falling off the bone, which everybody loves, but some of it, you're still tugging a little bit. So, I don't know. It's been working for me. I don't think the best barbecue guy in the whole world, but I've never had anybody complain either.
Well, it's hard to get people to complain about barbecue.
That's true.
Nobody dislikes barbecue. And if they do, then we're not friends.
Exactly. And by the way, I watched your tips video and how you're using the barbecue sauce and you caramelize, and it looked so good. I wish I could do that. I can't do the sugary thing, unfortunately, but my God, I can, in my head, I can taste it, and it was amazing. I didn't even have to eat it. I'm like, that tastes so good, Jason. Oh my God.
I'll tell you, you can take that same recipe, right? You're talking about the rib tips one, right?
The rib tips, correct.
Yeah. So that's actually a pork belly burnt end recipe that I modified. So basically, if you just go get like a slab of pork belly.
Right. Where do you buy that?
Costco. Yeah, anywhere. Costco has them. Really? We've got a Woody's butcher shop that I'll go to when I really want to impress people. And you're getting very fresh cuts and stuff like that. And they have the best pork loin. It's like butter.
But Keith's right. I mean, if you take, I'll make them for you sometime, Mark, but you take this whole sheet of pork belly and you cube it up.
Yeah.
And then you smoke it for like 4 hours and then you put it in a pan. And when you put it in the pan, you cover it with brown sugar and a stick of butter and barbecue sauce. And you know, that's, you know, maybe some honey. If you got honey or maple syrup, you can go either way. Honey is nicer because it doesn't burn as much as the maple syrup. But right. If you don't have honey, you use maple syrup in a pinch. And then you put it back on the smoker wrapped in foil for like an hour and a half. And then you take the foil off and you leave it in there for another 15 minutes just to help kind of, you know, solidify the glaze, if you will. And I mean, they're divine. You just literally, it's like eating bacon candy. And it's, but you can do the same thing with rib tips, which is if you buy spare ribs, is a great use of the extra meat that you're going to end up cutting off, because you buy spare ribs and then you cut the damn things practically down to St. Louis size most of the time. And so what do you do with all that extra meat? You can chop it up and make it into a rib tip burn ends.
Can you make chili from that? I guess that would be.
Of course.
You can make almost anything.
Natural. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Do either of you make chili? Is that something?
No, my wife does. She just made the most incredibly. She's the bigger cook. I can barbecue. I'm a Q guy, and I'm not even that great at it. So I defer to Jason on a lot of stuff there. But when it comes to really cooking, she is just so amazing, and she just makes chili. We just add chili.
Well, because chili is something you can do under keto, right?
Yeah. Well, we don't even put beans in there. It's just.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Your chili doesn't have beans.
Yeah. I
make chili with beans, but to Key's point, there's real chili doesn't have beans. Correct. Go to Texas, they'll throw you the hell out. It's like using sauce in Texas. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
And that's how they know you're a tourist.
Yeah. And she'll do something like, well, she'll put, ribeye steak in it, and then she'll put pork in it. It's the most amazing. I mean, it's just like killer chili and a lot of cumin and a whole bunch of other stuff in her little sauce. But she's got a big old thing of it that we, and it's just warms you. It was when it was raining, when we finally got some rain.
Yeah,
like, hon, this is the night for your chili. And she's like, I'm on it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's just like butter. And then, so Jason, what I was thinking, because I loved your videos, you also need to add, you could do a whole section on wine pairing and barbecue.
This is it.
So pairing, barbecue.
Yes. And I started to do that in some of the videos, right? And then I haven't made a new video in a while. So I got to make it. The last video I did was the salmon video. And that was after my producer got a new logo for me and he did the whole intro. And my friend is my friend Charles up in Seattle. He was living in Florida at the time, but now he's in Seattle and he's a pescatarian. So he was like, listen, I used to eat meat. I can't for health reasons. So, but I eat fish. It's like his one thing he eats. Can you do a fish one for me? I said, sure. So that's why I did the vodka brine salmon, which is a recipe that you can get actually on Traeger's website. But
vodka brine salmon.
I've got vodka salmon.
And I've got salmon.
It is truly, it changes the taste and it's incredible. You sea salt, pepper, a little bit of brown sugar, and 2 cups of vodka. So I make it with 3 cups of vodka, 1 cup for me, 2 cups of wine. But it's incredible. But
yeah, it looks good.
You know, the you're right. I started to do the wine pairing thing. And then my producer also wants to do cocktails. He's a big cocktail guy.
So I can absolutely dig that. I would have said really good bourbon and
You're a good cocktail guy, Keith.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a bourbon whiskey rye guy all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, and they
since you didn't ask what I was drinking, I was okay. I don't mind. I mean, you know, it's fine.
Hey, Mark, what are you drinking? Not that I care, but what are you drinking?
Notice the executive producer said we don't really care.
This is the Keith and Jason show now.
This is going to be the Keith and Jason
show. Next week, we're going to barbecue.
Right. This is the Keith and Jason show. We're interviewing Mark Storr tonight. Mark, how are you drinking?
So, Mark, thanks for coming on the show, buddy. What are you drinking?
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I had Applejack this evening. Laird's from New Jersey. First bill of sale, 1780. Sold their first bit to George Washington. And so I had some Applejack this evening. All so right. I'm sufficiently numb to your protestations of my presence.
I got to get my dictionary.
That's something that hasn't changed a whole lot.
Yeah. that was spoken like a true English major.
It's true. When you guys are now, I know Keith, when he does it, I mean, it's almost a nightly occurrence at your house, right, Keith? Almost.
Yeah. I mean, it depends if Tina's going to do, you know, she'll do some casserole thing, then I'm I'm free.
Right.
You know, I do a lot of chicken. And you know what's amazing is when I've had, when I first got into barbecue, you know, in his old charcoal grills going back sure. in the day.
Right.
And yep. then we go to grass, you know, our gas grills and everything. I would always screw up chicken. Always, I would always screw it up. I have not, since the Traeger Pit Boss, I have not screwed up my chicken once.
Wow.
I have chicken down, baby. Wow.
Do you do a lot of chicken, James? I don't think you do.
Me? Yeah, no, yeah. I do chicken. And Keith is right. When part of the reason is because when you're using the Traeger, the Pit Boss, you're going low and slow.
Yeah.
And chicken is one of those things that people want to do it hot and fast. And mm-hmm. you can do chicken hot and fast, but it cooks very fast.
Yeah.
A lot faster than people think. And what ends up happening is you end up drying it out. And on the outside, and as it works its way in to get to cook, so the middle will be raw, the outside will be done, and then you're eating dry chicken. Yeah, so
no one wants that.
It's chicken jerky time.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. You need a ThermoPen though too. I mean, it's, you don't have to get the ThermoPen branded ThermoPen if you don't want, though they put it on sale every once in a while. But you need a ThermoPen when you're cooking chicken. That's very helpful too.
Oh yeah. Well, I use the ones that came with my Pit Boss.
Yeah, that'll work too. Yeah, just the localized probe.
The probe.
Yeah, the probe. Yeah. Nothing like a good chicken probe.
But do you find, so when you do the chicken, Keith, do you do it, do you crank up the heat at the end for like a nice sear?
Yep.
Okay.
Because it's important.
Don't tell anybody, but that's exciting. No, you have to. There's two ways I do chicken. It depends on if I'm in a hurry or not. So first way is just that, the low and slow thing. And then the very end, I'll crank it. Sometimes I'll even sear it. I'll open it up and I'll just, you know, sear. But that literally is a minute. I don't like to oversear, but it depends on how much chicken I'm doing at one time. Because sometimes we'll do, you know, 20 pieces just so we can have it for lunch for a week or something like that. But the other times I'm in a hurry and just like trying to get it done. And literally I'll crank the heat to 450. And put my chicken on for 30 minutes and then I'm done.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't go longer than 30 minutes. You get about 30 minutes and you're done. You just make sure you're at the 165 degrees, and it's almost always 30 minutes at 450. You're golden. And I've never dried it out.
30 minutes. That seems like it dries it out.
Nope.
Really?
I guarantee you would think.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Now, the better way to do it is what Jason's saying, which I'll do it that way as well. Like when I got more time, a lot of times I'm just coming home from work. My wife's like, do chicken. I'm like, all right, I ain't going to wait all night. So I'm cranking it up. We do the very simple salt and pepper, you know.
Yep.
And that's
salt and pepper. Yeah.
And it's amazing. And then I just go real fast and 30 minutes on that thing at 450 works really well.
You got to remember these Traegers and these Pit Bosses, these pellet smokers are really just giant wood pellet burning ovens.
They're ovens. Yeah. And I would even call it a convection oven because it's blowing. So you don't really have to do a lot of flipping if you don't want to. The only time I'm really flipping is when I'm doing searing to get the sear on every side and to lock in the flavor and everything like that. You want to do that. But other than that, it's a convection oven, really.
Man, I'm getting hungry. We're recording this at around 8 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting here going, you know?
Yeah, the best invention in the whole wide world. You know, whoever Traeger is, he should be a bazillionaire because they're amazing. And I love them. It's changed my life. Jason, hold me.
Wow. This escalated quickly.
All right. Sorry. I was getting a little emotional. I'm back.
So I will say, though, like any good meal, and Keith, maybe your wife is the one who makes it. Sounds like maybe your wife's the one who's probably making the sides and everything to round out the meal.
Okay. Correct.
So any good meal, the entree by itself is not enough. Like you could, if you make the greatest brisket ever, and then you put out, you know, four slices of lettuce with a, you know, wilted tomato and call it salad. Nobody wants that, right? So you've got to really round it out. And so for me, again, I focus on Central Texas. I've been starting to work, and I have to put these recipes on my website because I've had a lot of people ask for them. I've been starting to work on my sides. Mark, you had the distinct pleasure.
I did have the distinct pleasure
of having my truffle smoked bacon, mac and cheese.
mac and cheese.
Oh, good Lord.
And now that's the thing is this is stuff that, you know, if you're a keto guy, you're not going to be eating this stuff.
Nope,
but I'm
telling you,
I don't appreciate.
I will tell you, I have a little bit of a solution for you there, Keith. So a friend of mine's diabetic and, you know, he loves my cooking. So I said, okay, I'm going to make a conscious effort to go find a substitute for the mac and cheese noodles. And so I started getting the Banza noodles, which still have carbs in them, right? But there are a lot less carbs per serving. It's garbanzo bean based noodles.
Really?
Oh, my wife. So on the same thing, she found these mushroom based noodles.
Ooh.
And they were they just reminded you of spaghetti noodles. They were pretty good. I'd have to ask her what it was, but they're really good.
But if you take that and you put cheese in there, mm-hmm. it's, you know, basically keto.
Yeah. I'm with
wow.
you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you could do that. You could actually have a truffle bacon mac and cheese.
We do a lot of things like that. We've got a waffle maker and we make chuffles. So what it is just a mix of eggs and cheese.
Right.
And you put it on your waffle and you think you're getting a waffle. And it's amazingly tasty. Amazingly tasty. So now we have buns because we don't do bread.
Right.
And now we can make our chaffles, and then you've got buns. And
Wait, you take eggs and cheese and just mix it together and pour it under the waffle iron?
Yep.
That's wild. I'm going to do that. We have a waffle iron.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Because they're awful thin going in. They're not like battery.
Yeah. Well, she'll also add, I'd have to ask her what the, because I don't pay attention, but she makes them. She discovered it. I think there might be a little almond flour in there, a little bit.
Oh, nice.
And she'll put heavy whipping cream in there or whatever. And it's just extremely low carb. And it looks like a waffle. And it tastes kind of waffly, you know, especially if you add some sweetener if you wanted to go on the waffly side or whatever. But mostly they're just like buns. They're great. They're like waffle buns. And then we'll make, you know, keto.
Sausage patties.
Keto bacon, bacon, lettuce, tomato, you know, whatever. I've made hamburgers and we, you know, make hamburgers with them and they're just amazing. So
I'm totally into this now.
Yeah, it's good stuff. If you're trying to avoid carbs, that's the easiest way to do it. So it's like anything else though, then you're making something that's very high protein and high protein is also not great. So
that's true.
Where a lot of us, too much protein. Protein also can become sugar. So, you know, that's probably my biggest problem. Yeah, it's good. Try it. Chaffle.
Jason, we get to end on a last bit. So let's talk more sides because I know I've had more than just your truffle bacon mac and cheese, which I like. But the beans you made.
So what's interesting about that is really all I do is I take Bush's baked beans and I doctor the hell out of them. Because if you try to make beans, I commend anybody who are going to make baked beans from scratch. That is a process. That is something that I would rather take 19 hours to make a brisket, which is about what I take to make a brisket. So I'd rather take 19 hours to make a brisket than even 10 hours to make baked beans because it's a very long process. So I take, you know, Bush's baked beans and I put them in the crock pot. I do them really low, really slow. And I will put about a pound of bacon in there and then I'll add barbecue sauce of your choosing, right? So if you like Stubbs, use Stubbs. If you like Sweet Baby Ray's, use Sweet Baby Ray's.
Mm-hmm.
I just put a little bit of that in there. Depends on how many beans I'm cooking. So that's when you kind of eyeball, right? Because you don't want to put too much in because then if you have too much sugar and then it'll burn, right? But I do that to doctor it up and then I mix it up. And then depending on who I'm cooking for, if I'm cooking for just like my wife who doesn't like, you know, she likes plain turkey. So it's very bland. I don't put black pepper in there, but otherwise like when you and Sue came over, I put black pepper in the baked beans as well. And then I had the coleslaw. I don't know. Did I make coleslaw when you were here?
Yes, absolutely.
I can't take credit for that one. That's Aaron Franklin's recipe.
Right. Yeah. And that was Aaron Franklin's recipe. You told me about that.
Vinegar coleslaw.
There's nothing like good Q, man. It's just I just think there's it might be worth it just to drive around the country and try. Now, I spent some time in South Carolina, and I got to go to Rodney Scott's. And if you go to your Netflix channel and you watch Chef's Table, he's on the most recent release of episodes. And he's a very interesting guy. I really like his story. And it's whole hog barbecue. 12 hours, you know, whole hog barbecue. I'm telling you, there is nothing like that. And that vinegar and pepper sauce. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Well, I think I told you how I make my sauce because you loved mine, too.
Because it's similar. It's apple cider vinegar in this case. And then you mix it with barbecue sauce, right?
Yes. So, Keith, you can do this, too. All I do is I take one of those, you know, those old school ketchup bottles that you can get at Smart and Final that they put in the, you know. When restaurants were open and we could eat out, you
put them at the end. Oh my God, I remember those ketchup bottles.
Do you remember ketchup bottles? Wow, it's so long.
Restaurants. Jason, hold me. Oh, I did it again.
The second time you've asked him.
It's the second time. Wow. Okay, so no, so I take about 60% sweet baby rays, or again, whatever barbecue sauce
stubbs,
you want,
baby stubbs,
and I cut it with about 40% apple cider vinegar. And it becomes kind of like almost like the consistency of an Arby's sauce, right? It's a vinegary
Arby's sauce.
That's the sugar way down in the sauce. And it's very good. It's a very good combo. But yes, it is. It is very similar to the North Carolina style.
Yeah, I love
sounds
that.
Sounds great. It sounds really good.
Well, we could keep talking food. We've got more recipes. We'll put the Jason's websites up on the show notes.
Everybody should go buy a t-shirt.
Everyone needs an Abraham
t-shirt. Definitely got to get that.
I'll tell you, I make no money off of those. So those are all printed by a local printing shop, and I did that. More, my buddy made the logo. I'm like, you know what? Let's go put this thing on t-shirts. And so it's direct print order type thing. It's a local independent business here in Santa Clarita. They work out of their house. So and the money goes directly to them. I make no money on it. So that's whatever costs to make. So when you're helping a local small business during COVID and you get to walk around with a picture of me on your chest with smoking a cigar, it's a pretty neat logo, I think.
And what's the website, Jason?
AbrahamsonsCaliforniaBarbecue.com.
AbrahamsonsCaliforniaBarbecue.com. Keith, he's lying about the profit. He takes all the profit.
Yeah.
He's lying
about
it. Well, this is the Mysteries of Things family here. We're only missing Matthew Burgess, my good friend and pal who's in Nashville. He's fine. He was out walking in the park when the explosion happened. And I've spoken to him a couple of times. So he's okay. Whatever that was, go look at the news. We don't talk politics here.
Nutty Matt, dude who blew stuff up.
Matt's our music director, and he's all the music that you hear here is original by him. And of course, my daughter Shannon, who really kind of used to be the social media editor, she doesn't do so much. She's very involved in college now, so it's hard for her to get involved. So it's really the four of us guys who are considering some things. It's my pal Keith Cox there.
Hi.
And executive producer Jason, who basically says things like, "That's a bad idea."
A lot.
He does. I should show you the transcripts, Keith, of things that I've said back and forth with, where he goes, "Don't do that."
I can imagine. I think it quite a bit. Actually,
I'm embarrassed to be a part of this show.
By the way, I want the title executive co-host.
I don't even know if it's a thing, but sure.
Duly noted.
Thank you. Yeah, Jason, make that happen. Executive co-host.
Thanks for listening to Considering Some Things. We appreciate you being here.
Yep, and if you have any comments, please reply and comment on our show. And you can catch us on all kinds of places like Stitcher and Apple and, oh, gosh, all kinds of neat
Spotify,
places.
Spotify, Amazon, TuneIn, iTunes, you name it.
Well, yeah, So catch us. Jason, thanks so much, man. You're awesome, dude.
Thank you guys. Thanks for, basically not doing a terrible job and embarrassing the hell out of me.
You're welcome. That'll be next time.
All right. You're going to tell your family about this episode then, right?
That's why I said my mom's going to listen. So,
all right.
Hey, that's a new listener, man. That's great.
That's six. That's listener number six. Woo. Listener
number six, Mrs. Abrahamson. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.